Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said life is like a mirror. We get the best results when we smile. We're happy to have the privilege of being with you today. We're glad that you're listening to our Bible Meditations program. All right, let's return now to our study, and we're talking about Christ, our example. Consider the apostle and high priest of our calling, Christ Jesus the Lord, Hebrews 3 and verse 1. So you and I are exhorted to consider Christ, because he's a perfect example. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Therefore, he becomes an example that we can follow, and we can know that we're always doing the right thing when we follow his example. A number of passages we've noted already relate to that. Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. And so as we follow individuals, it must be as they follow Christ, because Christ is the perfect example. We noted that in following his example, we would be dedicated or devoted to the cause of Christ. God had a plan. Jesus executed that plan, and the Holy Spirit revealed that plan. Well, the Lord did his work in regard to God's plan and was always willing to do whatever his Father wanted him to do. You and I then must be obedient as we follow the example. Be obedient to our Father in heaven. We were looking yesterday at the fact that Christ hated false ways and became a perfect example along that line. Now, the reason for his dislike of false ways is because in following a false way, there is destruction. Now, our world today simply leaves the impression that there are no false ways. We have had a steady diet of what people talk about as political correctness. And the thought is that everybody is all right in religion, regardless of what he does. And so we have come to the place that we just put blanket endorsement on any person or any doctrine that is taught. And we have the idea that we must not ever say anything against what somebody else teaches. Well, my friends, that was not the attitude that Jesus had. Jesus indicated that there are false ways and there is the right way. And so he encouraged men and women to follow the right way. Don't misunderstand, Jesus would not forbid others to say what they had to say, even though they appeared to be on the wrong side. Yet at the same time, this did not mean that the Lord just simply backed off and said nothing in regard to religious error. He gave a warning in Matthew 7 and verse 15, "Beware of those who come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." And so the warning is very clearly given. There are some that are sheep indeed. There are some that appear to be sheep, but inwardly are ravening wolves. So in the discussion in Matthew 15, when some were saying the disciples aren't keeping God's will because they are not washing ceremoniously the hands before they eat their food. Now remember, that had to do with the ceremonial washing. And so the disciples of the Lord were not washing their hands. And because they were not doing this, well, there was a complaint. Jesus just simply pointed out to them that by their tradition, they had transgressed the law of God. You see what they had done? They had decided that what was their tradition was equal to what God had said. Well, it isn't true, is it? The traditions they were holding were of human origin. and the Word of God was the guide. They were not trying to follow the Word of God. They were trying to follow what men say along this line. And so the Lord very plainly spoke out against that. Jesus also frequently, during his personal ministry, encountered people who were teaching religious error. For instance, the Sadducees who came to him and said, "There is no resurrection, there are no angels, there are no spirits, there is no life after death." And when Jesus talked with them, he pointed out their error. Do you remember on one occasion, some came to him and said, "Well, there was a man whose wife was, he married a wife, the man died, and according to Moses' law, his brother should marry her and raise up children to his brother. And this went through seven different men. And then the question was, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be?" And they thought they had an insurmountable question for the Lord to answer. But the Lord knew that they were wrong and their motives were wrong. And so you remember he said, "Ye do greatly err." That is, you're in religious error. You don't know the scriptures. You don't know the power of God. Did Jesus back off and say, "Well, if you think it's that way, that's all right. And if I think it's another way, that's all right. We each have a right to our own view"? Jesus didn't do that. Jesus simply said, "This is what is right." And of course, he was not forcing that on anyone else. Their choice was still there. But he was indeed speaking up for what he believed to be and what he knew to be the right thing. Well, how do we follow that example? We look about us in the world today, and we simply cannot put a blanket endorsement on everything everyone is teaching about us. Well, the psalmist David said it this way, Psalms 119 and verse 104. "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." Through thy precepts, that is, through the Word of God, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Why would we have hatred toward false ways? Well, I think it's quite obvious. A false way will not lead you to heaven. A false way leads you in the wrong direction. Why would we love a way that leads us away from God? And that's really what is true. Do you remember Jesus saying, John 8:32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free"? Well, what if you don't know the truth, but you know error? Will the truth free us from our sins? Yes. Will error do that? Will people be freed from their sins and on their way to heaven because they believed and followed and practiced religious error? Well, the answer is quite clear. No, they will not. Jude, in the little book that he wrote, it contains just one chapter, but in this book, he previously had in mind talking about the common salvation. But Jude said, "It was needful that I write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." What does that mean, to earnestly contend for the faith? Is he not saying you must stand up for the faith? You must take a stand for what is right and what is truthful? I believe that I could find greater popularity among men just by saying to them, "Everyone's okay. Everything is all right." But I don't believe I could follow the Lord's example in doing such. We do appreciate the opportunity of study today. Please listen tomorrow. Remind you that it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.